The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Whether we have a guest or not, it's Monday, April 22nd, 2024. In about an hour, Bill Ostrander is going to warn of the dangers of processed food. Tomorrow, we'll keep our coverage of the film festival going. We have scheduled a conversation with actor Beau Bridges and director-producer Jay Silverman. The film is Camera. I'm watching the film tonight. I guess it was shot primarily in Morro Bay. I'm looking forward to seeing that. All right, what do we do now?
Well, we can...
I emailed him.
...kind of talk about what to expect, maybe our own takes on it, callers' takes on it, whatever you want to do.
We're looking for Rich down in Mexico. I hope he didn't get arrested. We want to talk about what happened last week with... I think a pretty historic vote in the House. And this is the vote where Speaker Johnson, who was put in to replace Kevin McCarthy, came up with a plan of divvying up the aid packages. And so instead of just one piece of legislation, he broke it down into four. And they voted on USAID to Israel and USAID to Ukraine and USAID to Taiwan and other Pacific allies, and also money for the border. So we reached out to Rich, one of our bona fide conservatives, our friend who divides his time between Morro Bay and Mexico, because we wanted to hear his perspective about, mostly, is he still in support of Speaker Johnson? I know some conservatives are very upset with what the speaker did. And guess what? Here he is. Rich joins us now. Rich, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. Sometimes things are a little slow in Mexico. Today was one of those days.
Well, always good to hear from you, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's right. By the way, how are things in Mexico?
You know, they're good. It was 93 degrees today. So as we say down here, summer has started.
Holy cow. It's 93 and it's just the end of April.
Yeah, so it's now begun. So, well, yeah, got the air conditioning running, which is how we survive down here.
It's the weather in Mexico is hotter than Marjorie Taylor Greene's ears right now. So there you go.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But I you know, we will get into this, I'm sure. But I think there's two factions of the GOP. There's the Marjorie Taylor Greene, which I think is about just getting clicks and keeping the base fired up. And then there's the people that I think maybe want to get a little bit more done.
All right, so let's break this down, Rich. As I was explaining to the listeners as you were calling in, Speaker Johnson took the legislation and he broke up into four different parts. The House voted last week. So now we have aid for Israel and aid for Ukraine and aid for Taiwan and aid for the border. Just a general question, what's your reaction to what the speaker did?
Well, I think he was in one of those no-win situations where there was going to be some type of Ukraine aid. There was going to be some type of Israel aid and Taiwan aid. There was never going to be any real border aid. So he had to craft something that he could say, you know, to his base and the news media that, hey, look, we're pushing the Biden administration. We're doing all we can to force a vote on the border, knowing all the while that the Senate's never going to do anything on it. And they, in their mind, they had to, you know, after his flip-flop of the secret meeting that he had, there was no question that Ukraine and everyone else was going to get the money. So a lot of it was just kind of a show in my mind of something that I think was a fait accompli months ago.
For people who have been following the news, what was the secret meeting?
Well, at first, for weeks and almost months, really, a lot of the Republican base and the speaker was saying, we're not going to redo FISA. We're not, you know, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. We're not going to give them that data. Well, all of a sudden, he goes into a secret meeting, which, you know, they do all the time, into a SCIF, a secured, you know, thing so they can talk intelligence. And lo and behold, after hearing all the great things the intelligence agency does, he flip-flops and decides he's going to give the intelligence agencies their spying on American ability. And once that happened, I kind of saw the writing on the wall that Mike Johnson is one of those. He doesn't want to be labeled as an obstructionist. The strategy from the Republicans is, we think we're going to win this presidential election. Let's not give anyone the impression that we don't know how to govern. Even if we're governing against the will of our base, let's just get things done and not rock the boat to give us the best chance to win the presidential election. I think that's what this is all about.
Or could it be that Speaker Johnson saw the light and he was briefed on things and he was made aware of things that he wasn't made aware of before?
Oh, that's one way to look at it.
I'm putting it out there. You know, I'm putting it out there.
We could give him the benefit of the doubt, but I just don't believe that's the case. You don't call domestic spying a threat to the democracy on Monday and then Wednesday announce your support for it. That just seems like too big of a thing. I mean, it also prompts lots of conspiracy theories I've been seeing on my conservative media outlets, you know, on why Ukraine's getting the money, why all these bills are going through. You know, there's a lot of talk, even echoed by Tucker Carlson on the Joe Rogan podcast, that the intel agency really runs the show behind the scenes, and everyone's afraid of what they have on them dirt-wise.
So how is the vote and Speaker Johnson's actions playing out in the conservative community?
Well, I think it echoes the divide that's in the Republican Party and the conservatives in general. There's more of the establishment wing, which, you know, is for it, and they've always been for Ukraine aid. They've always been for every military spending. They don't want to go against what I would call maybe the foreign policy establishment of both parties. Then there's the base, and the base, if you're on Twitter, if you're on social media, even I get a little worn out from every outrage clickbait article of some of the talking heads on the right, who everything's a country-ending crisis and a fiasco. And I think they've played pretty hard into that, where, you know, the country's gone, you know, what are we going to do? We have the House, but we don't get anything done. But I also think, as a realist, as which I try to be, we have a several vote majority. That's just the reality that we're in right now until the next election in November.
I thought you were down to a one vote majority.
Oh, well, yeah, it is a one vote majority. So, I mean, you know, all this talk about, you know, recalling the speaker, vacating the chair. I mean, sometimes I wonder if Republicans would rather be in the minority, because you don't have to get anything done. You can just complain and talk conservative speeches. Because if you vacate the chair and get rid of Michael Johnson, you already have three or four moderate Republicans saying, if that happens, I don't want anything to do with this circus. I'm going to resign. Well, now you basically have elected Speaker Jeffries. And then the going into the election, Biden controls the House, the Senate, and the presidency.
On the Stolberg text line, first text coming in, I had very low expectations for Speaker Johnson, but if he continues to reach across the aisle to the Democrats, I see a possible Profiles in Courage award in his future. Care to comment?
Oh, I think it's true, exactly. I mean, I've already seen the articles that, you know, that he held off the MAGA war machine. He's saving the country from the radical right. You know, you almost like clockwork. The media loves a Republican leader who goes against the base, And I mean, I've been being a conservative. I've been seeing this pattern since I first became, you know, kind of literate in politics back when I was in high school.
But just to clarify before we take the first break, what's your reaction to what the speaker did? You okay with it?
You know, I don't have a problem with it personally. I don't like the amount of money we're spending. I don't think we're ever going to pay it back. I think, and let's not forget, it was however many billion today. In another 6 months, they'll be back for another 75. I don't think the amount of money we're sending to Ukraine is actually going to help Ukraine win. I think it's just going to pile up more bodies before there's an ultimate peace deal. But if he would have shut down the government over this and had a big crisis, I think you would have had a chance of it affecting negatively the presidential election. So don't think this is just about Ukraine and Taiwan and the other places. This was as much about the upcoming presidential election as anything else.
We will certainly explore that. Rich in Morro Bay / Mexico back on this broadcast, giving us his reaction to Speaker Mike Johnson and the events in Congress last week. More conversation and your phone call still to come. You're listening to AM 920 FM 96.5 News Talk KVEC. Always glad to have you with us on Hometown Radio. Tomorrow, actor Beau Bridges, also former CNN reporter Paul Vercannon, is part of a new book about the late, great Vin Scully. So we'll talk about that as well. This hour, we're back with our good friend Rich. Sometimes he's in Morro Bay. Sometimes he's in Mexico. But tonight he is joining us to talk about Speaker Mike Johnson, what happened in Congress last week. As we're back with you, Rich, what happens now to Mike Johnson? Does he survive?
Well, you know, it's interesting because my gut reaction when he did this, my initial reaction, and when hearing that Marjorie Taylor Greene has already filed her motion to vacate the chair, which basically calls, it's kind of like a no-confidence vote where now you get to elect the speaker again, I thought he was finished. I figured, you know, because I don't like the amount of money spent. I didn't like what was going on. And all this media I was following kind of parroted that. But then as I stepped back a little bit and started listening to some voices in the House that I think I respect and are a little calmer, less bomb-throwing, I think the Republican conference could face the motion to vacate the chair, could actually take it up and hold Johnson in office and basically vote him in again, because they just don't have and they don't see someone else that could step in and take over the speakership. I mean, you can't see someone more to the right getting the votes because the moderates would run. You can't see someone more to the left getting the votes. So, you know, I think Johnson, even though I don't care for a lot of his votes and his strategy, I just don't see someone else out there any better. So it's kind of one of those stick with the devil you know, especially going into an election here in November.
Well, you keep looking at it. How many speakers can you go through? I mean, you got rid of Kevin McCarthy. Now if you get rid of John, it's just the optics don't look very good.
No, the optics don't look good politics-wise. But also there's just the reality of what do you expect to achieve? In a way, it's a lot of screaming and yelling. Let's say we have the most arch-conservative speaker we've ever seen in our lives. And, you know, the left goes crazy. They don't like him. All the Republicans are cheering in the streets. It doesn't matter. Nothing's going to get past Chuck Schumer in the Senate. Biden's not going to sign any right-wing conservative-type legislation, so yes, it makes us feel good as right-wing conservatives to say, let's stand up to the machine. Let's vote the guy who was weak out. Well, strategically, it doesn't do anything. So, you know, sometimes Republicans have to put their thinking caps on a little bit more strategically than just the knee-jerk that I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is doing.
Does she do damage to your party? by being such a loudmouth?
You know, just as there's some folks on the left that do, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is that type of clownish character viewed on the right. I mean, you know, the world would probably be better with less Marjorie Taylor Greene and less Adam Schiff, or less, you know, whoever you want to call on the left is the equivalent. They're always in the news. They're always first to the microphone. And I don't think in a world of Twitter, it helps rally your base and get clicks and likes, but it really doesn't help move any legislation forward, or it doesn't help the party.
Yeah. We should underscore the fact that this recent legislative package wasn't really passed by Republicans. Every single Democratic congressional representative voted for it, and I think maybe 100 Republicans, so less than half of the Republicans voted for it.
Right. Normally, the way the gentleman's agreement and the general caucus rules are that in order for something to be brought to the floor by the speaker, it needs to have a majority of support in the Republican caucus. So it was close, but it was close. A majority of Republicans did support this, but once the Democrats supported it en masse, it gave a lot of the Republican congressmen who were looking more politics to vote no on it because they knew it was already going to pass. So there was a little politics involved. But, I mean, let's put the shoe on the other foot. Could you imagine Nancy Pelosi bringing a bill to the floor where it took all of the Republicans to pass it over the Democrats abstaining and voting no? That's just not something you'd ever see happen.
Yeah, which begs the question whether or not the Democrats have a vested interest in Mike Johnson surviving, because he needs their votes by and large. So what keeps them from just throwing him under the bus?
Well, there's a lot of talk of that, that some Democrats, let's say this motion to vacate is taken up. Some Democrats have said, hey, we're going to vote to support Mike Johnson because we've gotten everything we've wanted so far. And B, we don't want a more right-wing speaker than Mike Johnson. So really, what do the Democrats have to not like about Mike Johnson, other than he's pro-life at heart, but he's not doing any pro-life legislation. So really, legislatively, I don't think the Democrats have much to complain about from the legislation that's come out of the House recently.
Yeah, well, I got 45 seconds, but it's that old axiom, you run to the left or you run to the right, depending upon your party, but then once you get in office, you govern from the middle. That is, if you want to get anything done.
Well, that's true. It's been true forever, and it's true now, and it's also going to be true. Look at the presidential election. I mean, Trump's trying to moderate some of his positions, so it's just the universal game of politics. And unfortunately, I think the Democrats are much better at politics than Republicans, putting this display on for everyone to kind of laugh and chuckle at.
All right. Rich is giving us perspective on what happened in Congress last week, specifically the standing of Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. We've got news and traffic and weather. We'll keep the conversation going and invite your thoughts as well. You're listening to Hometown Radio for the Central Coast. This is the Dave Congleton Show. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Always good to be in conversation with Richard Morro Bay, sometimes Mexico, but he's conservative regardless of where he is. So we're picking his brain about what happened in Congress last week with Speaker Mike Johnson breaking up the aid package, and it passed thanks to the Democrats. So now what happens with Speaker Johnson? If you want in on the conversation, join us, 805-543-8830. Or 800-549-5832. feel free to shoot us a text on the Stolberg line. What about Kevin McCarthy and all this? Is there not buyer's remorse, but voter's remorse for getting rid of McCarthy?
Definitely. I think that there's a lot of people unhappy with the 8 Republican congressmen that pushed McCarthy out. You know, Matt Gaetz was the leader of that group, and I think they realize, boy, you know, we've just created a mess here because, you know, with one House member being able to stop the show and try to vacate the chair, get rid of the speaker, you know, you 535 people, there's always someone who's unhappy and grumpy. You know, one Republican congressman said on CNN today, "It's my absolute honor to be in Congress, but I served with some real scumbags."
Really?
This is a Republican talking about his fellow Republican congressman. So, you know, it's definitely not a pretty scene up there right now. Everyone, even a diehard conservative, has to admit that.
Let's go to Alan in San Luis. Hey, Alan.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Rich.
Hey.
I don't know how I'm going to top that quote, but anyway.
Yeah.
Comment first is, I'm glad they split the package into 4 separate aid packages. There's so many times over the years where you hear about the whatever it is, we'll pass this, but then we'll sneak this other thing in, and you have to hold your nose just so you can pass the whole bill. I like the idea. I wish we could do it more, just splitting into smaller chunks.
Any thoughts on that, Rich?
Well, and that was one of Mike Johnson's arguments, that, hey, look, look at the good I'm doing. We're not passing one bill with all this stuff in it. We're going to do 4 different votes, even though it's kind of viewed as one package. So that was one of the things he also touted as, look, I'm doing better than the alternative, which I don't know that the alternative was ever anything but get these things passed, but he at least had that as something to tout.
Alan?
Yeah, one question then for Rich. I know you mentioned about, yes, we're supposed to go across the aisle, but how often it seems like with the news, if it's the Democrat, it isn't that they're not going across the aisles, they're standing up against the MAGAs or against the right-wing conservatives.
Well, on what issue? What issue comes to mind?
Nothing. That's the point. I'm just trying to remember the last time I heard the news praising a Democrat for stepping across the aisle.
Rich?
No, I think the definition of modern bipartisanship is the Democrat agenda gets passed and the Republicans cave on it. That's pretty much the modern definition of bipartisanship and compromise.
Well, whose fault is that?
Well, the media.
It's the Republicans' fault.
Okay.
But that's still the truism.
All right. Alan, thanks for checking in. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Paul's in San Luis. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Dave. I got 2 words for Alan. Joe Manchin.
Explain.
Joe Manchin. He always gets praised for crossing or holding the line for conservative values. But what I wanted to ask Rich is, why is Marjorie Taylor Greene such a darling of Russia? Why do they love her so much?
Of Russia?
Russia, yeah.
No, I don't think Russia likes her at all. But I also have to circle back. I think Manchin is hated by the left. He's hated by the mainstream media for not touting the line. So I don't remember anyone praising Joe Manchin. In fact, there's worry that he would leave the Democratic Party and become an independent or Republican.
Well, I don't want to debate Joe Manchin. I just said that Joe Manchin continually, you know, well, he'll side with conservatives versus liberals.
Right.
And so that's why
that's true.
You know, that's why he liberals don't like him. Okay. But that's what he does. And people report on it fairly and they say Joe Manchin is siding with the conservatives.
All right. Well,
so, but anyway,
yeah, but come back to Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Right.
What makes
Marjorie Taylor Greene,
what makes
now,
you think
now,
Hank,
I'm
Paul,
sorry, Rich,
Paul, a question. Paul, What makes you think that Russia loves Marjorie Taylor Greene and vice versa?
Oh, there's a Newsweek article, and anybody could Google it and look at it, and they say that on RTTV that Marjorie Taylor Greene is continually praised for her stances, and they've even said that she would be an acceptable alternative to Donald Trump.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene has said some crazy things, like that, you know, the Ukraine has provoked, you know, this invasion by Russia, you know, because they were siding up to the NATO countries, you know. And so Marjorie Taylor Greene she's pro-Russia. So Russia loves her. So my question to Rich is, why is that?
Right. But just to be clear, as Rich responds, he's not a fan of Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have to you know, defend Marjorie Taylor Greene, but I also think it's going back to the days of the Russian hoax to call someone you disagree with politically a friend or loved by your, quote, enemy. You know, they did this to anyone. George Bush and the war machine did this to anyone that rightly opposed the Iraq war. So it saddens me that our friends on the left would use the George Bush playbook.
Well, it saddens me, Rich, that you know so little about the Russian investigation, that you don't know that the Senate Intelligence Committee that was run by Marco Rubio, they put out a report in 2018 that said that the Russians interfered with our election. I'm sad that you don't know that, Rich.
All right.
But also the fact that there's a Republican congressman named Mike Turner who's in charge of the House Intelligence Committee, and he says that Russian propaganda is continually, he hears it from his Republican colleagues. So I don't know why you keep making excuses for Republicans siding up to Russia, and you keep calling that a Russian hoax when it's absolutely not a Russian hoax.
Let's hear from
it's
Rich.
The truth.
Let's hear from Rich. Rich.
No, I think we have the Mueller report that disputed this hoax, and we have years of Twitter files coming out and all of the deep state tricks that were used. It's just it's the same old trick again. So I just laugh at
it's
it,
not a trick,
and I don't respect,
Rich,
frankly, the people who go down that road.
You are saying you're citing some Twitter stuff that you hear versus I'm telling you that the Senate Intelligence Committee, run by Marco Rubio and a majority of Republicans in 2018, said that Russia definitely interfered with our election. And by the way,
yes,
that Mueller report, dozens of felony convictions with juries.
He's trying to respond to you. Rich?
No, I mean, but that's the game he's playing. Of course Russia attempted to interfere with the election. We interfere with every election. That's the way the world works in the big boy game. The question is, and what
the
least you're asserting,
Rich,
which is not true, is that Trump colluded and was part of that Russian interference. Equal B.
Right.
I have a question for you. Why is Roger Stone and Paul Manafort not in prison right now?
Because they were pardoned.
They both were convicted by three juries of multiple felonies. Why are they not in prison?
Because they were pardoned.
Yes, they were pardoned by Trump. And they were convicted on crimes related to the Mueller report and Trump colluding with Russians to interfere with the election.
All right,
that's what they were convicted of.
All right, fair enough. I'll allow the point, but we're drifting away from the topic. So I will thank Paul for his call. We will take a short break. We'll come back with more of your phone calls, more of our conversation about Speaker Mike Johnson with Rich. We're live, we're local, we're hometown. Bill Ostrander talking about the dangers of processed food during the 6 o'clock hour. Rich is in our final segment on this topic. We're just looking at what happened last week with the big House vote in Congress. and the aid that was approved for Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan in separate votes. Some conservatives are very upset at Speaker Mike Johnson. If you want in on the conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Rich, back to you. I'm reluctant to bring up former President Trump, but on this topic, it's relevant that he was opposed to increased aid to Ukraine, and now Speaker Johnson went against Donald Trump. What's the implications of that?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, if President Trump was the president right now, he would give the aid as well. So I think this was a lot of politics from Trump, seeing how rabid the base of the Republican Party and his supporters are against giving more aid, which many view as kind of a lost cause of money we don't have. And so Trump came out against it, and then Speaker Johnson basically ignored that. But he also, I think, still has Trump support. Johnson still has endorsed Trump. So I really don't see it as a real schism between the two. I think they both just made what they both viewed as political decisions.
Well, and follow up on that, because before that vote, Trump and Johnson had a joint press conference where basically Trump threw a lifeline to Johnson.
Yes, I mean, that's why I think it's all just kind of a little political talking point show, because these two support each other. If Trump was to win the presidency and Johnson remains speaker, they're going to work closely with each other. They're coordinating campaign efforts for the Republican caucus between the two. I think they both just viewed a little different strategies politically, which frankly is why a lot of people get sick of politics, because why doesn't everyone just do what they really want and say? But there was a lot of political dancing going on here.
It sounds like you believe that Speaker Johnson will survive at least for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I believe so. From even some of the more right-wing conservative podcasts I listen to, where sometimes I chuckle, sometimes I cheer along, they're even saying, hey, look, even if we get rid of Johnson, who do we have next? Because remember, it took 3 weeks to find Johnson as a consensus candidate. So what other congressman is going to put their neck and basically political life on the line to want to be speaker if they know that as soon as one member of the caucus doesn't like what they're doing, they could basically fire them? I envision this rule being changed very soon, where one member of the caucus cannot to vacate the chair. This doesn't make good governing sense.
Let's take another call. We've got Ken on KVEC. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Ken.
Yeah, I just wanted to add this whole thing in Ukraine. Like, I was all for supporting them in the beginning, but has anybody noticed that we give them just enough to not lose, but never enough to actually win the war? It's like we're giving them enough so that Russia has time to gear up and make more guns and more bombs and stuff. We never give them enough to quite win. Kind of like Vietnam. It's kind of like how Afghanistan was. It's just like this never-ending war.
How about that, Rich?
Well, I think you're 100% right, because you have to define what winning means. And if winning means pushing Russia back outside of Crimea, outside of the land they took back in 2014 or 16. Russia won't stand for that. They've already said they view that as an existential threat. They'll use nuclear weapons. So we're not going to push them to that point. The reason I'm not for this continued war, and a lot of conservatives aren't, is because we look at it and say, you know what? Russia's already won. Ukraine can't win. We can't, because winning would cause World War III. So all we're really doing is using Ukrainian men and women on the battlefield as cannon fodder to hurt our enemy, Russia. And it just is an ugly scene that I'm afraid we're going to look back on just as unfavorable as the Afghanistan and Iraq wars.
Ken, what else do you want to say about this?
Yeah, and we're using it to enrich our military contractors.
Well, sure.
Oh,
sure.
That's what it's really about. I mean, in the bottom line, that's what it's really about.
So, Ken, let me ask, is that if President Biden or if Trump wins and he takes over and he says, all right, we're going to increase our commitment, we're going to give them enough to win, would you be in favor of that?
I mean, this is the thing, is we've drawn them in so far now. Russia can't back out now. Like, they're so committed. Like, they just... It's going to be World War III. They're not going to back out.
So you see no way of avoiding this?
At this point, we need to sue for peace, or they need to sue for peace and say, hey, you know, we're going to make some kind of compromise. You can have these counties or whatever here, and, you know, they can work something out at this point. Because it's hurting both of them a lot. And neither Ukraine nor Russia wants to continue this, you know, but we keep feeding it, you know?
All right, we'll talk about that. Ken, good to hear from you. Thanks for the call. All right, so Ken's arguing, Rich, that the emphasis should be on peace at this point, not war.
Yes, I agree. And if you remember, the UK, Mike Johnson, who was the UK's former prime minister, Boris Johnson, he was leading a peace delegation between Russia and Ukraine, and the U.S., basically said to the Zelensky and the Ukrainians, don't sign it. We can do better than that. This could have been over a year ago. I don't know who to blame. I don't quite understand why we're pushing this to continue. It's definitely a topic for other shows in a longer format as well, but it just seems to me we're making every mistake we always make, and who always wins is the arms suppliers.
If you want in on this conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830. As Rich explains to us what's happening with the Republican Party after the big House vote last week. What about the Gang of Eight? Do they stay quiet?
Well, I wouldn't want to be on the Gang of Eight right now. I know Matt Gaetz, he's out campaigning against Republicans, which is kind of like the golden rule of a congressman or senator. You don't actively campaign in a primary against your fellow members. He's out raising money and campaigning against what he calls, you know, the evil rhino Republicans, trying to get more conservative candidates. So there's still talk and an internal ethics investigation against Matt Gaetz, which is why he didn't like McCarthy to start with, for allegations of sexual improprieties. So it wouldn't surprise me if some new news leaks out about Matt Gaetz to try to take him out politically.
We had a segment last week where we were talking about the number of Republicans and Democrats, particularly Republicans incumbents, who have announced either they're not running for reelection or they're just walking out the door now, not even waiting to the end of their terms.
Yeah, I've been following lots of my conservative, quote, influencers, and there's a growing conspiracy out there right now that enough conservative Republicans or moderate Republicans plan to resign after it is time for their state to appoint a new representative or hold new elections. That way, if enough of them resign, the Democrats can take control of the House, and then they can do something to stop, if President Trump was to win, to stop from certifying the election results. That's the hot topic of the right-wing conspiracy media landscape right now.
Well, we got a couple minutes left. So given everything going on in the House, given everything going on in the courtroom, what is Donald Trump's path to victory in November? What does he run on?
I think he's going to run on the same thing he's been running on, is that I was cheated out of the election. I really won it, whatever you want to believe about that. And, you know, I can fix the problems that Biden created. And, you know, the economy, you can argue if it's good or bad, but I think a consensus is it's not too great right now. It's going to be close, but, as I said before, I would have rather had a different candidate, but if Trump is the candidate, I'll pull the lever for him. But it's gonna come down to those same swing states again, and my prediction is it'll be you know, a couple hundred thousand votes will determine the Electoral College again.
But can you get any mileage beyond the hardcore Trump supporters? Can you get any mileage out of the stolen 2020 election? Isn't that hurting Trump for him to keep emphasizing that?
Oh, personally, I think it does. I think he should move on from that, never mention it again, and get into things like border, immigration, the economic issues, because when I look at the polls, that's where Trump beats Biden. But we all just have to realize the horse we have in this race. And if Donald Trump gets a reason to bring up the, quote, stolen election, he just can't resist it. And if I was Joe Biden and the Democrats, I would almost be taunting him into that to keep him away from the economics and the border issues.
Any predictions for what's going to happen with Ukraine?
Well, it's horrifying to watch, but I'm afraid we're going to give the $60 billion, and in 6 months from now, we're going to be right back again where we are, and they'll be asking for another $60 or another $75, and I just don't see this ending with the Ukrainian victory. And at the end of the day, Russia's not going to, quote, lose. There's going to be a peace settlement. I sure wish our powers that be in the State Department would work on some type of negotiated settlement to stop the loss of life that's going on.
All right, Rich, we always appreciate the conversation. Thanks for joining us today. I got 30 seconds for a final thought.
Well, there's that phrase that, you know, may you live in interesting times. I don't think anyone can argue we're not living in interesting times.
Yeah. Interesting times, but also hopefully safe times.
Yes, that's the truth.
All right, Rich, thank you very much for your time. Off we go. We've got ABC Radio News. Craig updates us with Time Saver Traffic and Weather Together. Bill Ostrander, during the 6 o'clock hour, warns of the dangers of processed foods. Very important segment. Hope you'll stick around and hear the conversation. This is Hometown Radio.
The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.